This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
It may seem strange, but our teaching passage is again from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. And John the Revelator wrote, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, 'Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Crying and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away.' Then one seated on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" And if we really think about it, this passage is still very perfect for the Christmas season, which, by the way, this is the third day of Christmas. And I remember, and this story relates, by the way, I remember when I was a kid, I would occasionally break something, a toy or something else, and my dad would be a bit peeved about me breaking something, but would softly take the broken item, take the right kind of glue, because he always seemed to know whether it should require Elmer's or some of those, you know, the modeling glue that held together the plastic pieces of a model, or super glue, because we had that even then. And he always seemed to know the right kind to use, and he stuck the pieces back together. And in a short while, the glue would dry, and he would test it. It would hold up. And then he would smile at me and look and say, "Look, it's just like new." And then there was the time when I would fall down, and Mom would take some Mercurochrome, you know, the red stuff that everybody used, and would pour on by the quart if need be. And they would put a bandage on it and say, "See here, it's going to be just like new." Well, in a way, that's our passage for today. And it's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to make things new. His appearance, his entry into the world, was so he could be with us. As the passage says, God will dwell with men. And he would fix what we humans had broken. And there's a lot of that that needs fixing. So, let's look at what it says in verse 3. God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. What did Jesus come to do on his earthly sojourn? He came to live with us, because the passage this morning for our gospel said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." It means literally that he pitched his tent, his tabernacle, and lived among us. Not only does this bring back images of the Lord in his tabernacle in the middle of his people Israel in the camp, but it simply reminds us that he came to live among us. He came to dwell with us, and that's one of the most profound truths about the reason we celebrate this season. Jesus humbled himself to be born as a baby so he could grow up and endure the stages of life. Infancy, being a toddler, probably even cutting his first teeth, becoming a teenager, although I doubt he ever had acne, learning Joseph's trade, then eventually starting his earthly ministry. He grew up from a cuddly baby in the manger that we all love to sing about to the grown man who would call us to follow him. He did all of these things, yet without sin. He lived the law perfectly, as no one of us ever could. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' three foci for coming down and living with us. He came to preach, he came to seek and to save the lost, and he came to die for us. Yes, he came to do those things, but there's more to this story, because there are the actual objectives for why he did those things. And if this were a cop show, we would say what his real motives were for doing this. So let's look at Revelation 21:1, where it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the earth had passed away." There will be a new heaven and a new earth. In the long term, but his goal and purpose is to bring about ultimately a new us in the short term. Revelation 21:5 says, "Look, I'm making everything new." He came to rebuild us into a new people so that a touch of heaven would be first realized on the inside of us. So what were his objectives? The first thing, he came to make disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, passing down the shore of the Lake of Galilee, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." This is the most frequently quoted verse when it comes to Jesus calling his disciples. And yes, I admit that sometimes, and maybe even quite often, we find this verse bothersome and difficult because it automatically connotes that we're to be witnessing, preaching, and sharing the gospel with other people. And for many people, that is a stress-inducing thought. We take it to mean that we're to be consciously looking for people to whom we can share the gospel. And yes, the passage does mean that. But there's more. Look at what it says. He came to make all things new. What does Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:17? That the old is gone and the new has come. We're to be transformed from the inside out. Romans 6 verses 4 through 5 says, "Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." Newness of life. Didn't he come to make all things new? Well, that was the purpose. So in the process of making us new, we are to become like Jesus. Jesus even spoke about this in Matthew 10 when he said that it is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher. Now he also came to make us grateful. We've talked here about an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, and sometimes some of the scripture passages are pretty bold about that because Psalm 95:2 says, "Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song." Paul reflects on this in Philippians 4 when he told the Philippians, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So he also came to give us a new attitude. He came to change how we do everything, giving us a higher purpose for whatever it is that we will do. Paul tells us this in Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Or there is to be a noticeable change in our thoughts and attitudes, as Isaiah 29:23-24 says, "For when he sees his children, the work of my hands within his nation, they will honor my name. They will honor the Holy One of Jacob and stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are confused will gain understanding, and those who grumble will accept instruction." We're no longer people who don't honor the name of God. There's more on this in the section where we talk about how he came to make us worshipers. Then we're no longer to be confused about who we are and who he is. We're no longer confused about what's right or what's wrong. We're no longer to be confused about that which is and that which is not sound doctrine. One other key detail about this new attitude is that we're to be teachable. That's what the prophet Isaiah meant when he penned the words, "Those who grumble will accept instruction." Folks, this is humility. We're changed such on the inside and given a new attitude that is so profound, we're willing to be teachable. Willing to listen to our priest or pastor, an elder, a more mature believer, or even our siblings if they're walking with Jesus. Now that's profound and amazing. Jesus' birth into our world was to accomplish this too. To make us teachable. To be willing to listen to instruction. To be willing to listen to correction. And not to complain or get mad when someone corrects us about something. And not to say, "Who does he think he is? Why does he have a right to tell me those things?" When you do that, you're showing, one, you're not humble, and two, you're not teachable. But Jesus came to fix that and to make us be willing to listen to someone when they have something constructive to say. Now, he also came to make us worshipers. John 2:19 says, Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." John 4:21 and 23 has Jesus saying, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." These two passages speak about the Lord changing us into little temples, as it were. Wherever we are is a place of worship. Not only that, like the Isaiah passage said, "They will honor my name, they will honor the Holy One of Jacob, and stand in awe of the God of Israel." We will honor His name and stand in awe of Him. We'll worship Him gladly, knowing to whom we're giving the worship. We can get so near Him. There's a song of praise on our lips almost daily, and sometimes more frequently than that. In the John 4 passage, Jesus tells us something profound. The Samaritans didn't know who they were worshiping. Jesus was pretty clear about that. You guys worship who you do not know, but we worship who we do know. You see what this says? It says that we can actually know God through Christ. And you say, "Oh, yeah, I've heard that 100 times or 1,000 times or whatever." But do we realize how profound it is that Jesus came to make it such that we could actually know God and worship Him and know the one to whom we are giving the worship, knowing Him personally? And I think that's pretty awesome. The one who fashioned this entire world knows us, and we're supposed to be able to, and we can, know Him. Not as this abstract thing up there, but a personal God and friend who lives inside of each one of us. And then we worship Him because we know Him. And if we know Him, we know how awesome He is, that He's worthy of the worship we give Him. And that is pretty cool. None of these things we've shared today guarantee that all is going to be perfect in our lives and there won't be any bumps in the road. That's why it's good to remember what Paul taught in Philippians 1:6. "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Remember, we're all in process. None of us have arrived yet. So let's walk with one another, love one another, hold one another up in prayer, and support one another, and care for one another. But let Jesus continue that work inside of each one of us. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.